Peter Stringer, you're part of the AIB Future Sparks Festival. It's happening at the RDS in Dublin on March 14th. Tell me a little bit more about it.
Yeah, it's just, it's a thing AIB started last year, and where I think this year we're going to have 7,000 or 8,000 the Leaving Cert students coming in and listening to people from every walk of life. And I suppose I'm one of the sports figures where hopefully I'll be able to pass on a bit of my experience and my knowledge over the years of that transition out of school. I went to university and studied and didn't continue on that path that, you know, there are many paths that kids can kind of take these days, and you don't have to go down the route of, you know, just going to college to study something that, you know, careers change, and that it's not the be-all and end-all when you hit 16, 17, 18, that things do change. So it's just a great initiative that AIB are doing, giving kids an insight into different careers that they can follow. And I think it's the main message really is to follow, you know, something that you love, that you're passionate about, that inspires you, that motivates you, and ultimately that's what's going to drive you and make you happy at the end of the day. So it's just opening people's eyes to what's out there.
What would be your advice to a 16-year-old Peter Stringer?
It would be not to stress about exams, and you think that when you make that decision after your junior cert, when you decide on your subjects for your Leaving Cert, that does not define you, doesn't define who you are or what you're going to do. I picked chemistry and physics and went to college and did chemistry, and it certainly it wasn't the path I took. Professional rugby hadn't really been a thing. It turned pro in 95. I left school in 96. So things change, things happen, different opportunities come up. So it's life is too short, but you have plenty of time to be making decisions and following the path that you want to follow. So don't be stressed about making life-changing decisions at 16 years of age.
And we can get more sage advice from Peter Stringer at the AIB Future Sparks event on March 14th at the RDS in Dublin. Let's talk about Ireland and the Six Nations. It kicks off on Saturday against England. Is this the ideal way to kick it off, or would you have preferred this England game a little bit further down the line?
Look, yeah, Ireland-England's always a huge game. I think from an Irish point of view, you'd probably like one of the other games to get into it. I think England would be looking at this as a great opportunity to get Ireland, you know, first up before they can build any momentum. England are coming with a side that they're, you know, looking quite strong, not too many injuries. They're going to bring that power game. Eddie Jones has spoken in the press about he has picked a squad to beat Ireland and not to win a Six Nations. So, you know, that's the games that these coaches play. But certainly England would come to Dublin looking to rattle Ireland from every section of that pitch, 1 to 15. They'd be looking to get stuck into Ireland. And we've seen over the years, Ireland they've won that gain line battle. And that's what really has led to the success in recent years. England have been dominated in that physical battle, but with the team that England looked like they'll be able to pick from, with the Vunipolas, with Bentio, Tuilagi, Farrell, they have that physicality. Itoje, it's a very, very physical outfit, and it's the basics of the game that's going to win it. It's going to be close. Whoever can win that gain line and get slightly front foot ball going forward will give their tens that added split second on the ball to make those decisions.
Let's talk about your own position, scrum half. We know all about Conor Murray. We know what he can do. What about his backup, Quaylen Blade and John Cooney? Obviously, Luke McGrath, unfortunately, is out having damaged his knee.
Yeah, it's a tough one, you know.
And
Marmion is out as well. So you're missing the two guys who would have been next in line behind Conor. But look, that's the nature. You know, John Cooney's been playing well for Ulster. Started the season very well, a little bit of an injury. But he's back now. He's back controlling things again. He's a guy who's proven he can compete at provincial level, handles the pressure very well, kicked incredibly well, those last-minute kicks in those games that he pulled off. Quaylen Blade, I'm just very impressed with him, the way he's gone about his business at Connacht with Jack Carty, great partnership. The way Connacht play the game, I love the way they play an expansive game. And Quaylen he likes to get on the ball. He's a nuggety little fighter who, likes to get that second touch and has finished off a few nice tries, as is John Cooney. Great running game as well. So I think Cooney's obviously going to get the nod, given his experience. But again, he's not experienced at international level, and Ireland will obviously be looking for Connor to get back to the form that he probably had before his injury, and to relieve a lot of that pressure that's going to be on Johnny at the weekend. Johnny's going to get a lot of heat from that back row, that English back row are going to come at him. So it's important that, Ireland get full value out of Conor Murray at the weekend, and we'll hope to maybe give Cooney a bit of a run towards the end of the game if Ireland are in a good position, just to get him that experience for the games coming up.
What about that heat? Do players in a kind of strange way like that? Because obviously, you and Ronan O'Gara would have played together many, many times for Ireland, and you would have been targeted many, many times. And on most occasions, you came through it with flying colours. Did you like being targeted? Did you kind of see it as nearly a compliment? And how did it feel when you were out on the pitch?
You don't really enjoy these back row fellas coming at you and scragging you by the neck and wanting to throw you into the rosette of the stand. But it's, I think from a 10's point of view, certainly, you've got those guys looking to charge down your kicks and who are flying at you. If their focus is on that, we identify quite early that there's space elsewhere. There's space in and around those guys. If they want to fly out of the line and make hits, then you've got, they'll have Bundy, they'll have Robbie Henshaw, whoever they'll have in that kind of outside channel to make those yards. So Johnny, if this guy's coming at him, he'll ship the ball on, he'll sit a little bit deeper in the pocket and view his options. But again, the platform is set from up front. It's very, very hard for guys to get off the line and put Johnny under pressure if the Irish pack are going forward and kind of steamrolling that English pack. So from that point of view, a lot is dictated by how your own forwards perform. But look, Johnny's going to get it. And I think what he has around him, Henshaw, Bundy, Ringrose, there'll be plenty of guys there to step up and say, look, Johnny, step back for a minute. We'll carry the ball. Furlong, O'Brien, whoever's there, they'll be carrying balls. So, look, there'll be space elsewhere if guys want to target guys. And I think that's just the nature of it. And if you want that from an opposition, if their only focus is to be concerned about, getting after you, they're not really worrying about their own game, and they don't have that kind of mentality of, forget about what the opposition do, we're just going to worry about ourselves, then the mindset has changed. So if they're thinking about Sexton and Murray, and if that's their focus, and they lose sight of what they need to do themselves, then look, it's Ireland's advantage.
Before I get your prediction, I want to get your kind of favourite memories of playing against England. Is that tap tackle the favourite, or what is it?
There was a couple against England. Dan Luger won it. Jason Robinson won some good times. And, winning over in Twickenham after they had won the World Cup, I think was a great day. Shane Horgan scoring in the corner towards the end. Just some memorable moments. Back in the day when we weren't, really given a chance. And you look at the English teams back then, so powerful, so strong. We really had that underdog tag, and there's nothing greater than when you're starting a journey with a group of lads who just aren't given a chance and given a hope in hell of pulling off a win. There's something special in those moments that you remember and you can reflect back on with fond memories.
What's your prediction for this game?
Prediction is just going to be brutal. It's going to be a war out there. England are going to try to upset Ireland at every opportunity. Again, it's just come down to the basics, winning that gainline battle. Who's going to front up? Who's going to win those extra yards to get your team on the front foot? I think, England, like I said, will be looking at Ireland and thinking they've got them at the right time in the championship before they can build momentum. But I still think Ireland at home, where they've come from in the previous 12 months, Ireland will win narrowly.
And finally, you moved out of professional rugby but into professional dancing.
I wouldn't say professional dancing, but it's
dancing
with a professional. Yeah, it's a completely new environment, something so far out of my comfort zone. It's something that I said I'd never ever do. Never even had an experience of getting onto a dance floor drunk, to have those kind of moments. Always self-conscious. So to do this, my wife just convinced me, saying there will be no bigger challenge you will face in life than to go out in front of hundreds of thousands of people live on a Sunday
Stepped
night.
On by whole England packs, but this is the biggest challenge in life.
This is the biggest challenge. Give me, me against that English pack any day of the week. It just feels so unnatural at the moment. But you know what? I'm enjoying it. It's a challenge. I'm someone that I give 100% to whatever I do. And if you're in it, you may as well be in it to win it. So let's see what I can do.
How does the training compare? Do you like the kind of discipline of it?
I like the discipline of it. It's long days. It's 7 or 8 hours a day rehearsing. And that's entirely up to me and my dancer how long we do. Because the more we do during the week, hopefully the less of a fool of I make myself on a Sunday evening live. Yeah. So it's a long day, long process, learning a new dance every week. And but I'm loving the discipline of it, you know, in terms of making sure I eat well, I recover well, and mentally rehearsing the dance and getting the steps down. So yeah, look, it gets me back to a good space.
And I assume you watch Dirty Dancing on repeat just to keep your head in it.
Absolutely. That's my moves came from week one, my lift. That's what it was. Yeah. I nailed it in one go. So yeah. I don't know what
practicing
this whole,
in the lake and the whole lot.
Patrick Swayze, I don't know what he was at. So I managed it in one go. But look, it's a new process and I'm enjoying it.
Peter, thanks for joining us at the launch of AIB's Future Sparks Festival, which of course is taking place in the RDS on March 14th. I'm sure you're looking forward to speaking at it.
Can't wait. Cheers. Thanks very much.